Happy Christmas from Radio Arian. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas. You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach. And I want to start off the day, first of all, by thanking Sven and Dr. Johnson for being here yesterday. One of the joys of being a public activist, of course, is being attacked. And that's something that's been happening to me since I was in college. It's a pretty normal thing. I wake up with my morning coffee and I read my death threats and my hate messages. It's a really enjoyable time, and it's just goes to show that you're really riling up things. But of course, sometimes things get a little more serious than the generic, pictures of dead German soldiers and hate-filled messages. So some things going on the home front. Our family is perfectly fine. I really appreciate it. I got some great messages from people just checking in on us from around the country and some of my international friends. So I really, really appreciate that. But but before I get in with Sven on the events of today, I just want to say that if you look at what's happening right now, Ghoul, of course, from TRS, the local anti-fascists have tried to not only dox him, but go after his family. Richard Spencer, of course, in Whitefish, his mother has nothing to do with his politics, and they are working to literally extort her, of have her sell her business and give these Jewish organizations money. It's been covered extensively by the Daily Stormer, that these Jews and these leftists don't just try and hurt us as activists. They try and threaten and intimidate and even extort our family members, because they know if they can't get to us, if we're here and dedicated to the cause, only bullets can stop us. So then they go for the next best target, and that's attacking our families and intimidating our families and trying to cause rifts in families and stress people out and make them scared and intimidation. And this is terrorism. But what the left does is actually, by any definition, trying to inspire terror, trying to promote extortion, and all these different things. Hey, if you renounce your views, we won't get you fired from your jobs, we won't threaten your family, give us money, like what's happening with Spencer's mother. All these sorts of things. These people are terrorists, and they're really not. They're not human. I mean, I don't even know what to say, but I don't even put them in the same category as just someone I disagree with. Because when you go after people's families, even the mafia had a rule of no women and no kids. You don't go after people's families. That takes you out of political discourse. You can try and do anything you want against me or any of us public activists, but threatening people's families makes you absolutely garbage, and you're a horrible person. So I appreciate the support. Everything's fine on the home front, and just had to handle some things involving extended family and an immediate family, but we're good, and I appreciate everything. And I just want to remind everyone that our enemies are absolutely the scum of the earth. They truly are the worst people you could possibly come across. And also, I wanted to go ahead to some of my friends who are in the AFA, the Astro Folk Assembly, and other organizations. I want to wish you a happy Yule, because it's the first day of winter. But on to the events of today. First of all, I'm joined by Sven Longshanks, my good friend, my co-host, and my comrade. So, Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I'm good. It's terrible the way that nationalists are treated, and it really is dishonorable the way that they go after your family because they know that they can't get to you. So they'll do that. I mean, that is just the most dishonorable thing that anyone can possibly do. I mean, it's your views. It's not your family's views. And in a just world, your family would be really looked after. But, your mother would be honored for the fact that she gave birth to you and the way that you turned out, advocating for your people. And this is what's, just doesn't actually add up. We're the ones that speak out for our people. We speak out for our nation. You speak out for Americans. I speak up for the British, and yet we are the public enemy number one for doing so. You would think that the British people and the white American people would think to themselves, well, hang on a minute, we want somebody to be speaking up for us. Don't we want somebody to be speaking up for our interests and doing the best that they can for us? But no, for some reason, they believe that that means that we're the bad guys, we're the nasty people. When we're the sensible people, we're the ones that have been speaking up against the immigration invasion into Europe and America that is killing people. I mean, just today, I looked on the Daily Express website, and it has the figures for all the terrorist acts in Germany of this year. There's been 22 people killed, 7 separate terrorist attacks, and 112 people wounded. Now, that's 22 people that would still be alive and 112 people that wouldn't be in hospital if people had listened to us and listened to the nationalists. But they're still not saying we should be listening to the nationalists and what the nationalists say. What they're saying is we need to get the Muslim community to trust us. We need to get the Muslim community to tell us when these terrorist attacks are going to happen. As if that's ever going to be likely, as if they're going to say, oh, by the way, we're just about to blow ourselves up next week at the Christmas market, or by the way, next week we're just going to run a load of people over. We just thought we better let you know in advance. Of course they're not going to let us know in advance. They shouldn't be here. The only way we can stop with these terrorist attacks is by removing these people from our countries. And the only people that are actually suggesting the only sensible option and the only way to actually deal with this problem are nationalists. And yet, nationalists are the ones who are constantly being condemned. You're being condemned and threatened now. Richard Spencer, his family's being threatened. National Action, who did nothing whatsoever wrong apart from send out some tasteless tweets, have been banned as a terrorist organisation. When we've got real terrorism that's happening in Europe right now, with exactly as we see what's happening in Germany at the moment. And just while I mention National Action there, one of the reasons why they were banned is because the media whipped up this notion that there had been an avalanche of hate after Joe Cox's death. Apparently there'd been 50,000 tweets sent out celebrating her death, people calling Thomas Mayer a hero. And this came from a group called Hope Not Hate, which is funded by Jews. It's an Antifa group. It's a notorious left-wing group that puts out lies about right-wing nationalists. They put out some lies about Ben Raymond last week as well, showing pictures of him at a World War II reenactment and claiming this was a far-right meeting and it was a submachine gun that he had in his hands. It was just a reenactment, basically. But they're known for putting out these lies, and they put out this lie that 25,000 people had been celebrating Joe Cox's death online, and they sent out 50,000 tweets calling Thomas Mayer a hero. So this got used in the Houses of Parliament when they banned National Action. And The Economist, which is another left-wing magazine, well-known left-wing magazine, they tried to investigate these tweets. They said, well, we want to see some of these tweets. And of course, the group which Hope Not Hate used refused to let them have a look at them. So The Economist did the same thing that they claimed that Hope Not Hate did. And they took their own sample, and the the end result was that 0 to 1,500 tweets is all there could possibly have been. And I think it was probably something like 10, something like that. Nobody was celebrating Joe Cox's death. But this just shows you the lies that our enemies will stoop to try and smear us. If they're not going after our families, they're just telling lies about us in the press. But this is a bit of good news that The Economist have exposed this group, Hope Not Hate. They're also talking about they want to take Nigel Farage to court for calling them left-wing extremists. But by the nature of the actual company that they are, they can't actually take people to court for things like that. So they're going to fail in that. But it's very good to see this left-wing group being exposed like this. It's by another left-wing organisation, which is a little bit of positive news that we can start off with, I guess, Matt.
Well, yeah, I mean, and of course, when it comes to all the lies, I mean, you just look here in the United States. I was asked by this British reporter from, I guess, Channel 5, who was over here, and asked me probably like 8 times about the the hate crimes, the hate crimes. There's hate crimes everywhere. If you're non-white in America, you wake up every day and there's just roving bands of people in Make America Great Again hats, just ripping hijabs off left and right and doing all these horrible, mean things to people. It turns out that the majority of those are false. You know, but it's all about the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. They told us, look at all these statistics where you can go on their website and type in a hate report where there doesn't really have to be any evidence whatsoever other than a random person on the internet. I mean, right now, you could go onto the SPLC's website and file that you as a black, homosexual, transgender, Andaman Islander felt oppressed today when you were at the store, and send that off, and I guarantee you they're going to count that, because you look at groups like the SPLC, you know, every year there's more and more hate groups because they have to justify their funding. They expanded their definition of what's a hate group to include traditionalist Catholics and the Family Research Council and other pro-traditional marriage groups. But then they never take groups off their list. I mean, you look at their hate map, and in some cases, there are organizations that have been defunct for a decade. Like, I couldn't drive a car when those organizations went under, but they're still on the list, right? Because you always have to have more and more hate groups. Hate has to be rising. Please send us your money, Jewish grandmothers, you know? please send us your money, and we'll keep combating hate. And that's what groups like the SPLC do. So they put out these reports when it comes to numbers. Oh, there's just all these hate crimes. And of course, I stand against and reject all violence and hate crimes. The problem, of course, isn't immigrants in our country. The problem is the Jews that bring the immigrants into the country and destroy their countries back home and then bring them over here and then pit us against one another, that this always ends with the Jews. I mean, that's where we should always be focusing our energy in regards to who is creating the multicultural nightmare that we're all dealing with. But you know, the fact of the matter is the majority of these so-called hate crimes, like there was the one girl that had her, you know, claimed her hijab was stolen and she was attacked by Trump supporters. It turns out she had a Christian boyfriend and broke her curfew and was out drinking. So she had to come up with the one excuse that her Muslim parents would listen to. And that's, oh, the Trump supporters were out, you know, the red hats were coming to get me. And they made her file a police report, and it turned out to not be true. But that is one of just dozens and dozens and dozens of cases where these hate crimes did not happen. They don't exist. But when you have organizations, these far left organizations, that the leftist media loves this narrative, so they go with it. It's not about fact checking. They just go with whatever groups like the SPLC or Hope.Hate put forward. And all they do is lie or misrepresent the truth. These people are not honest people. They're not out there to speak about the truth. Even if they were on the other political side and they were actually like fighting crime or something like that, then, you know, I would disagree with their politics, but okay, I don't want anyone to be racially intimidated or have violence done against them. We can all agree that, again, it's the Jewish oligarchs that are the problem, but that's not what they're doing. Their entire thing is just to be anti-white, to promote an anti-white narrative, and they have no problem lying, and that is throughout the entire Western world. From Germany to the UK to here in the United States, that is all these Jewish organizations do. They lie, and they lie, and they do it to push a specific anti-white agenda.
Yeah, and when they do this, they think they can get away with it because it doesn't matter, because it's nationalists that they're lying about. They think they're justified in saying whatever they like because it's nationalists, and just because they're nationalists, they should be arrested. And we're even seeing this working its way into the court system now, where we've got people that are being taken to court supposedly for inciting racial hatred, and instead of actually looking at the evidence and seeing, is this inciting racial hatred, they're just smearing the people and telling lies about them and making them out to be nasty people, calling them Nazis, and that's reason enough to put someone behind bars. We've seen that this week with Lawrence Burns, who's on remand now. He's been remanded until January for having a private conversation on Facebook, but the majority of the case revolved around the prosecution calling him a Nazi and calling him a racist. And this is the same thing that we saw with National Action. When asked to provide evidence of their terrorism, Amber Rudd just said, well, they're racists, they're Nazis, and they're homophobes. So nobody seems to really bother to actually check out these allegations if it's a nationalist that's being smeared like this. And we know that there are so many hate crime hoaxes that go on. So many of them have been exposed. But what we've actually got over here, there, some organizations are offering rewards to hear about it. You know, if you can report somebody criticizing minorities on Twitter or online, then you'll get a reward. YouTube have done the same. If people flag up certain videos or whatever, then they'll get rewarded for this. They won't necessarily get money, but they will get some form of reward. And after the Brexit vote, the BBC asked people to send in instances of these hate crimes. And it's interesting enough how hate speech is what it used to be called, and that's now evolved into hate crime. Hate crime used to have to actually be a crime that had been committed, you know, a burglary or violence, some form of violence that was inspired by hatred towards a minority. But that seems to have evolved into just any criticism of any minority is now considered to be a hate crime. We've got a special police unit in London that have been set up specifically to deal with this. And they've been given millions of pounds to basically investigate people that criticise minorities online. Any lefty that complains about what they've just heard online can try and get the person that tweeted to them investigated by the police. And then when the police do investigate any violent crime, if it is a minority, the first thing they will ask them is was this a hate crime? Will you say it was a hate crime? Because if somebody does say, well, this was racially aggravated, the guy called me nigger or he called me a faggot, then the police get a bonus for that, because then they've discovered one of these violent hate crimes that they've been told to specifically go out looking for. So the police are happy because they've got extra hate crime figures, and the minority is happy because he's managed to stick the knife in to whoever it was that committed a crime against him. Even if there was nothing racial about it whatsoever, they are likely to say that he called me a rude name for me being a minority, because they know then that the case will get followed up. Because a lot of the time here now, when you get crimes, the police just don't investigate them. But if it's a minority that is the victim of crime and he says it was aggravated by racial hatred, then that case, he knows, is going to be followed up. It's going to be investigated. And where the Crown Prosecution Service now has a diversity quota agenda, so that's filled up full of minorities as well. When the police take these cases to the Crown Prosecution Service, because it's the Crown Prosecution Service who have the say on whether the case goes to court or not, if it's minorities that are the victims, and if it's hate crimes that are involved, they will send that straight through to the courts because they want to be seen to be fighting hate crime. It's like a vicious circle that keeps feeding in on itself and getting bigger and bigger. And it's something that we never had a problem with. I mean, we never had a problem with hate speech 30 years ago. It's a totally invented sort of crime. And beyond that, we never even had racism 70 years ago, before we had immigrants in our country, before we imported all these foreigners. There was no such thing as racism. You know, people in Britain felt kindly towards these other races. We wanted to help them. There was no knowledge of the sort of things they would do once they actually came to Britain, all the rapes that they would be involved in, the muggings, the burglary, the robbing, all of that sort of stuff. None of that was known. People were just interested in them. We knew they were different. We knew they lived in Africa or in India, and we knew they had a different culture to us. And we were interested in that culture, and we wanted to help them. It's only since they imported them into our country and forced us to live alongside them and put up with all their crimes and cover up for all those crimes, that's what turns people into racists. All of this has been caused by the very people that you say, Matt. It's all been caused by the traitors and the Jews bringing them all here into this country. And now we're seeing the end game, where we've got open terrorism on our streets. I don't know where it's going to lead to next.
Well, exactly. I mean, and this is only going to get worse. I mean, the very fact, I was actually dumbfounded. I was hanging out with a couple party comrades yesterday when it came on the news that the suspect in the Berlin attack was released. So I guess that means we have the guy still on the loose, unless he's been caught in the past couple hours and I haven't seen a news update. And these terror cells are coming from refugees. And they're also coming, of course, from, we see the Saudi government promoting this Wahhabism in the prisons, promoting it in these Muslim neighborhoods throughout the United States and in Europe, telling these kids that, you know, again, integration doesn't work. It's, you know, you've got the refugees that are fresh off the boat, literally off the boat, And then you've even got kids who are second, third, fourth generation so-called European. They've been in Europe with their families, and they realize they're not European. They're going back to their roots, and they're becoming more radical. And then the blood is flowing on the streets. The Angela Merkels of the world, the blood is on their hands for these horrific crimes that have been committed, and the aiding and abetting by these left-wing organizations going after nationalists for wanting to save our daughters from what happened in Rotherham, wanting to save our families from what happened in Nice and Berlin. Then they attack us. And you know what? When it comes to controlling information, I thought this was very interesting. I just saw it. It looks like Vice is shutting down their comment section. And this is another very high-profile media outlet that says they're tired of the trolls. And, you know, of course there is some trolling, but what are we talking about when it comes to trolling? We're talking about people who are challenging the political narrative, who are introducing statistics, introducing facts, going out and going after this information. And, you know, we've got Facebook, and we've got the media saying that it's fake news, right? It's all fake news to talk about attacks on whites, demographic displacement, how Russia is actually our ally, not our enemy, and condemning U.S. and Israeli foreign policy. That's all fake news. And now these media outlets, even if they're going to publish their lies, even if they're going to label our media, which is factual media, you know, by and large, far more than the mainstream media. Of course, there are some crank websites out there. I'm not going to defend everything. But our alternative media is far more accurate, I think, holds ourselves to a much higher journalistic standard of exposing the truth that the system tries to hide. Let's just remember in Rotherham, they knew about these pedophile gangs for years. And the media hit it. The police hit it. The politicians hit it. They would rather hide the suffering and abuse of children than expose that their multicultural experiment is a failure and is hurting our communities. These are not good people. But now what they're having to do in every single media outlet is remove our ability not just to engage with them, but just to make comments, to even say, hey, in this story, you said this, but it is factually incorrect because cite source here, or I don't agree with multiculturalism, because we see it in every comment thread. We see it in every single comment thread when it's on issues of race, that people, when they know they can get their voice out there, it's not just our movement. We don't organize that bombard every single article. It's just normal white people in Europe and the United States and around the world that point out what multiculturalism has done and how much they dislike it. And that was too much. That was saying the emperor had no clothes on this multiculturalism. So Vice is shutting down their comment section. And that is not a new thing. More and more outlets are doing that. And very soon, I don't think there's going to be comment sections left at any places other than, like, at the Daily Stormer or at the Traditionalist Youth Network or at Radix or any of these other websites on our side. Because we enjoy debate. We enjoy discussion. And we believe transparency is important to discussing truth and discussing these ideas. But the left is shutting down any ability, and they're trying to get us off of social media with mass banning, Stalinist purges of us off places like Twitter. They're trying to label our websites as fake news so it won't show up in people's news feeds. And now they're taking away our ability to comment on these things on their own resources. So, Sven, I want to know your thoughts on that, that they seem to be in a free fall of not knowing what to do with how many people are getting awakened to our principles and trying to shut down any capacity for people to hear that other people think like them.
Well, I think it's our critical analysis that they're really frightened of. I mean, the facts are the same. I mean, we report on the same facts that they do. You know, we use the same news agencies to get our information from of what's going on. It's just our critical analysis of what is going on, it shows it in a different light. And that's what they really don't like. I mean, it's like they will tell you, Angela Merkel was shocked and terrified to hear this. Well, Angela Merkel, when this terrorist atrocity took place, Angela Merkel was celebrating diversity. She was at an award-giving ceremony for people that had facilitated multiculturalism this year. So she was literally celebrating the fact that she'd brought in a million of these savages into Germany while 12 people were being killed outside at a Christmas market. So, and this is the critical analysis that we will give, whereas the mainstream media will just be saying, Angela Merkel says how terrible it will be to find out if this was a refugee. Well, of course it's going to be a refugee. It's certainly not going to be a white German guy. I mean, when this atrocity first happened, they were trying to claim that it was somebody Polish because the truck had Polish plates, and because a dead Polish guy, the guy who actually owned the truck, had been killed by the Muslim behind it. But they were trying to say that it was this Polish guy that did it. They would do anything to cover up for the people that are actually behind these crimes. As far as the comment sections go, if I want to be inspired or make myself feel better and encouraged in what I'm doing, I now go to the mainstream comment sections, because they are full of people speaking like we do, Matt. Just go to the Daily Express, go to the Daily Mail. I was just looking at the Independent earlier, and this was an article about Frauke Petri and her response to the terrorist atrocity in Germany. And they were trying to smear her and saying what she said before about shooting refugees. And basically what she said in her tweet was, no, we shouldn't be looking at this with love and hope. You know, we should be getting angry at this. And the Independent is extremely left. It's as far left as the Guardian is. And then looking down at the comments, and you've got people criticizing the journalists, saying they're not far right. Why are you having a go at them? And this is the same in all the comment sections now. The Jewish media has lost control of the public narrative. They claim to be speaking for the public and speaking for how the average man in the street feels. But the average man in the street doesn't feel like that anymore. The average man in the street is sick and tired of diversity and multiculturalism. He's sick of seeing his European brothers being murdered on the continent by these savage Muslims. And he cannot understand for the life of him why the government keeps sucking up to the Muslims. And instead of saying, look, we've got this group here that keep committing all these crimes that identify as Muslims, and we keep saying, oh, we've got to be nicer to them. If we're nicer to them, maybe they'll tell us. Maybe they'll be kind enough to let us know when the next terrorist act is going to happen. And look at the way we respond to it. Candlelit vigils, lighting up the Eiffel Tower, setting up a new hashtag. Nothing is actually done to prevent the next terrorist atrocity. They knew this was going to happen in the Christmas market. A couple of weeks back, they were told the Christmas markets are going to be a target for Islamic terrorists. But what can they do? What can they do about it? Could they put bollards in front of every market, search everyone's bags on the way in? Even if they did that, a lorry can still go in and crush everyone. There is nothing they can do about this to prevent the terrorism except deport all the Muslims. Eventually, they're going to have to do it. Either they are going to deport all the Muslims, or it's going to come to war on the streets. And the choice is theirs. And this is what we've been saying for so long now. Even saying that, they'll say that that's hate speech, to say that there's war coming. But it's quite obvious that there is. What other outcome could there be, Matt?
Well, exactly. I mean, the multicultural experiment is coming to an end. And that's such an important thing, that people are awakening and they're doing everything they can to hold on. They're doing everything they can to hide the fact that this awakening is happening, because they love their polls. They love their media narratives. But the average person is understanding that multiculturalism is dangerous and it's a failure. And they've been lied about. They everything that they've ever been taught has been a lie. And it's such a powerful thing to see this truth, to be able to see this awakening, and to have people understand multiculturalism is not going to work. If the fact that there are terror attacks in Germany, the country that has welcomed the most refugees, that has been the most anti-nationalist. I mean, we're looking next month at possibly having our good friends and comrades in the NPD banned by their high court for simply saying that Germany belongs to the Germans. We're talking about a peaceful, legal, political party that's been in existence for decades. They're trying to ban because they're in opposition to the refugees. They're in support of traditional German culture and the German people. The German government is trying to ban the supposed far right, that word they use all the time, and has given more benefits to these refugees than anyone in Europe or around the world, and yet there are still terror attacks. We do not have a niceness problem. Well, I mean, actually, we do. We do have a niceness problem, that we're too nice. We let our people starve. We let our homeless and our veterans and our working families get abandoned now in favor of people that have their own countries to live in. It's not our country. That I wouldn't expect to go to Syria, as great as I think Bashar al-Assad is, and expect him to subsidize my family and to have everyone start speaking English and let me define their country. That wouldn't be right. And likewise, these people shouldn't be coming to our countries and trying to redefine things. So if Germany is facing terror attacks, that this entire Justin Trudeau, weak-kneed, pathetic expression of we just need to be nicer and give them more money and things like that is absolutely nonsense. It is absolute nonsense. Every single person that you talk to agrees unless they are lobotomized or far leftist. And those two things are very, very similar to one another in the effect that they have. But people are awakening, and it's such an exciting thing. And this is why, to get back to the end of the show, this is why they're threatening my family and Richard Spencer's family and Gould's family and activist family. That's why they're banning organizations like National Action. They're trying to shut down the NPD. You know, the charges are still ongoing in Greece against the Golden Dawn leadership in an absolute farce of a case. Absolutely no evidence of what they're being accused of, but they're trying to bankrupt them and drag them through the mud. The system is angry and tired because we are winning and winning and winning. So comrades, we just need to carry on. Sven, as we come to the end, do you just have a quick final thought for our listeners?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of good news, actually. The Snoopers Charter, which was this new bill that went through in Britain that was requiring all the internet companies to save every piece of browsing data for everyone in the country for a year. So, and then this information was going to be available to all these different agencies. This is a real infringement on our civil liberties. The European Court of Human Rights have just declared it illegal. Said that it's unlawful and they can't do it. It's not a way to prevent terrorism. It's just a way to snoop on law-abiding citizens. So of course the British government have said they're going to repeal it, but it's still just a nice bit of positive news that they've been told that that's completely illegal. Hopefully they won't be able to repeal it and it won't pass, because it's a really disgusting bill, basically. I mean, it's like snooping on people's private conversations. It's a horrible bill, and thankfully this EU court has actually done something decent for once and have said it's unlawful. So hopefully it will stay that way.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, that's a good night to leave us on. And comrades, stay positive, because we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. Every time the system attacks us, that's because we're winning even more. So, guys, thank you so much again. Thank you for all the support to me and my family. Happy Yule to everyone. Thank you, Sven, for being here. And have a great day, guys. Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area. .com